podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Ending there. Hello, good evening, and welcome to the LFC Day Trippers Transfer Special NTK show, which of course means no transfer knowledge, because we're not saying we don't know anything, Joe. We're not claiming to be experts, and we're not claiming to be in the know or anything like that. As you can see, two of us tonight, don't adjust your screens. It's not Roy Said Fred, it's not Phil and Grant Mitchell, and it's not Matt Lucas and Jason Statham, and I can let you decide as ourselves which one is which out of that one. I'm your host, Keith Plunkett, and I'm delighted again to be joined by Mr. Joe Wayman. Joe, how are you?
Yeah, good man. Thank you so much for having me on. What an intro that was.
Do you like that? Do you like that? I think that any bald people I could come up with, I lost the hat there.
You know what, I every time I get tagged in stuff on Twitter saying, is this you? Whenever it's a bald ginger guy, that's it. There's always a, I seen you here, I seen you there. I'm like, yeah, it's not me. I mean, there was a guy yesterday on one of my streams literally commented, bald ginger man. And I was like, what, you subscribe for 5 minutes to tell me that? I was like, what's the point? But yeah, I'm bald and ginger, yeah.
It's more of a dedication, you know. What can you do? Yeah, tonight we're just going to talk through everything that's happening around the Premier League and beyond, and transfers, and big and exciting. I'm not going to lie, there's not too much going on, but I want to start on the big news that's sort of been breaking over the last couple of days, Joe, and that's Cristiano Ronaldo wanting out of Manchester United. First, are you surprised at that? And secondly, where can you see him ending up?
I guess when you actually think about Ronaldo as a person and what he wants to strive to do in the game and all that sort of stuff, and he's played in 19 consecutive Champions Leagues, and therefore, you know, next season, obviously, he holds the record for the most goals. If he's not in the Champions League, there's a chance Messi can catch him. So when you actually think about all that, you understand why he would want to move. I was laughing when I seen it because of, obviously, the return of the king kind of vibe. And then he's like gone, yeah, I'm not having this. I'm out of here. So I think that's brilliant. It just shows the drop off of Man United, which of course we can rejoice in. Yeah, look, he's very all about himself. It's him. It's the image. It's not about those that are around him. I don't go along with the narrative that people say, I mean, they may end up being better for it, but if you take him out of the side last season, they won't be anywhere. Do you know what I mean? Like, he basically got them through to the knockout stages of the Champions League on his own. I think he's still got like 18 goals. So I think it's easy to just say, oh, he made them worse. But like that, I guess him now leaving, because I think he will get his move because it's Ronaldo. They ain't got a choice. Man United, he's not sticking around and playing Europa League. It then throws up another issue for Man United, because who are they going to get to lead the line? Do you know what I mean? Who's going to be their number one strike? So it means they have to go back into the market for that. Not surprised, mate. You know, not surprised, really. It's funny, though, isn't it? It is funny. Where will he end up, though? That's the thing, isn't it? Like, yeah, I don't want to speak about it because I could go on all night. So then I've got my thoughts on Chelsea as well and what their owner's up to. And I don't know, but do you think he'll stay in England or will he go abroad?
It's a weird one because when we were thinking about Mo Salah leaving Liverpool on this channel, we were talking about possible destinations. I mean, you're, these players at the very top, there's not many places to go. And, you know, I was of the opinion Salah wouldn't have stayed in England even on a free, even though it got sort of threatened that he would have felt, no, he wouldn't. So you look at the clubs he could have gone to, and Ronaldo, it's even a shorter list, so you can't see him going back to Real Madrid. I know Barcelona are sort of sniffing around. I don't know what their transfer business is going to be, but I'd say we could safely rule that out. PSG are big hitters. Can you see them looking to bring in a Ronaldo? I don't know. You know what I mean? Him and Messi and still Mbappe.
Neymar as well.
You know, that's a team. And then Bayern Munich getting mentioned. Again, I think Bayern Munich are very sensibly run. Yeah. Club, yeah. I don't know. Something you touched on there, Joe, was not making them worse. And I get that, you know, 18 goals. I think he got 14 of them at Old Trafford, and he's just such a big player for them and a big persona. I just feel that maybe players, and even at Juventus, I felt this was probably the case. Players around them didn't develop like they should have done. Now, whether that's his fault or that's their fault, because you're talking about a player who has an aura and has a sort of being around him that he's going to score goals. He's always going to score goals.
Yeah, yeah.
But what are you going to do? Because I felt Dybala maybe at Juventus declined when Ronaldo went in. He's still a good player, but I felt he was on a nice little run and maybe had a dip with Ronaldo. And then at Manchester United, I felt Fernandes wasn't great last year.
No, he wasn't, no.
And I don't know if that's down to Ronaldo or because of him, he took a lot of penalties still. He took some free kicks. And then maybe Sancho was probably a little bit in awe. So I just felt that maybe, I wouldn't say he stifled them, but it'll be interesting to see what they do. But something you touched on as well, Joe, was who do they get to replace him? Because they're talking about Darwin Nunez was their top target, but they felt that, you know, they didn't need him and they felt he was too overpriced. Nothing to do with the fact that Liverpool came in and signed him. But who can they get? You know, the players out there, because Ten Hag seems to be taking an approach of players that he seems to have known are coming that have played in the Dutch league. So they get Tordell Malacia over the line. They're set to get Christian Eriksen in as well. But even if you look at his Ajax team, Sebastian Haller was the centre forward there. He's gone to Dortmund.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where he goes with this. No. Like, what are they going to do?
I genuinely don't have a clue. Will it be the renaissance of Rashford, of Martial? You know what I mean? These players. Yeah, it's mad. I don't know what will happen. I think someone's mentioned Lewandowski. I think it was Kev. Kev knows ball, but I just can't see Robert Lewandowski agreeing to go to a Europa League side. And someone else mentioned that. Yeah. He wants that move to Barca, doesn't he? He wants to continue playing Champions League football. There's no way, although Bayern Munich might be the only club, or it might make sense, there's no way Lewandowski agrees to go the other way for me to go to Manchester United. This is the thing, we have to reevaluate, and it's hard for us because we're of a certain age, but it's not hard for us, it's enjoyable, but they have to reevaluate what they are, and I've seen them like linked to some players, and I see them linked to, say, like De Ligt, for example, and then you notice that then Chelsea and Real or whoever, you know, are all interested. I'm thinking, well, you're not even in them. You're not swimming in the same waters as them teams anymore. Yeah. So you need to start looking at the West Hams, the Leicesters. And, you know, it is, though. I know it's laugh, true. But it's true, bro. Like, they're not swimming in the same circles as yourselves, as City, as you know, as Chelsea's, not a chance. You know, you're closer. Okay, maybe I'm being a bit. You're closer to Arsenal and Spurs, aren't you, really, for Man United? So I just don't look. I think there's a shortage of top level strikers in the market anyway at the minute. It seems to be. Yeah. I don't get what they do. But again, for Cristiano Ronaldo, I think he will find a club that will give him Champions League football for sure. I'd love it to be in England a little bit, just a little bit. Do you know what I mean? There's that little part of me, because there was talk of him going to City, weren't they, for a little bit, and then he went to Man United, and they all thought they were going to win the league, and they had Champions League, Varane, etc. And look how that worked out, mate. So
And because of his love for Manchester United, that he went to Manchester United, and how ironic would it be if he pitches up at Chelsea? You know, it's a strange one because, again, touching back on Salah, when the rumours came out about Salah going to Man City, I always felt that was a smokescreen because I just felt it wasn't something that he, you know, he had more options. But you were right, Ronaldo doesn't really have that many options. And when you said it, you know, 19 seasons in the Champions League, the goal scoring record, whether fans like to think about, and this upsets a lot of fans, and it upsets a lot of fans of our sort of age and beyond. You know, Ronaldo's a brand. He's not really a footballer, you know, and he doesn't think about, well, he is thinking of the football side of it, but he's thinking of the brand. He has to be in the Champions League. He thought he could go to Manchester United. They finished second in the league. They brought in, as you say, Varane, they brought in Sancho, they brought in Ronaldo. A lot of hype around them. You know, at the start of last season, I think they might have battered Jules early on. It was the first game of the season that they had Jules.
Yeah.
Fernandez got a... Pogba got three assists or something ridiculous Four assists. And they were coming out saying, oh, Paul Pogba could get 30 assists this season. It lasted about a week.
I think he got six, didn't he? Seven, four, day one, you know.
And that's, but the hype was there, you know. And that's why I don't like to let them off the hook too much about rebuild. The hype was there at the start of last season. They thought Ronaldo, and Ronaldo, in fairness, thought he could do it as well. Yeah. But I don't think he realised the sort of the power of Liverpool, Man City, and then even the Chelsea's and that, he's looking at that job there, and it's too big a job. There's no guarantee to get back in next season with the way the other teams are spending either, is there?
No, not a chance. Just to go back a little bit, I remember that first game when we got spanked 5-1, and it's not even that good of a result when you compare the season we had as well, obviously staying up on the final day. But I was on the Dom Robich show, and the lad that was there, Neeks, they've actually rehashed the video, like the clip, because he was asked at the time, oh, they've just signed Varane, Dirk, Pogba, four assists. And he was asked, and he said, we've got a better squad than Liverpool. We're on par with Chelsea. We're going to challenge for the league and stuff. Yeah. And just look what happened. Like, it's just jogged my memory. But, yeah, I don't know where he'll go, mate. It's mad. I mean, I heard Napoli was mentioned. I was watching something earlier. But does Ronaldo see himself? That's what I'm saying. You're so right about it being a brand, right? Because we've seen an influx of, like, young kids and football lads all started suing and that as soon as he came to England. Yeah. It was like just a pandemic. Forget COVID-19. Everyone was just suing everywhere, weren't they? It shows just how much of an impact he does. Whether you like the guy or whatever, he is a brand. And there are fans out there that aren't football fans. They're Cristiano Ronaldo fans, and they'll follow him, you know. So it'd be interesting to see where he pitches up. I just don't have a clue. Who can afford to pay him? Like, who can afford to pay him? It's a mad one.
Yeah. Laszlo throws in a comment there. Mendes has his work cut out. Todd Bowley might be just the sucker he needs. Can't see Tuchel being too into it though. And I think that's it. I think the Chelsea thing, we'll touch on these now, because he's the director of football there as well as the owner, and that's an alarm bell already. There's red flags all over. Now maybe he has good people in around him, and you know, the LA Dodgers, I don't know if he's involved with the Lakers as well. They could be involved with the Lakers, but they throw money at the baseball, at the Dodgers. They absolutely lash the money in, and I think that's where he ends up. I think he goes to Chelsea because there's nowhere else out there. And I think Bowley, I seen something earlier, he's promising Tuchel six signings. Now they're talking about Ronaldo and Neymar. I don't know about that. You know, financial fair play will be tapping them on the shoulder for that one. But can you see a situation where next season Cristiano Ronaldo's lining up at Chelsea?
I think it's the only likely destination in England for sure. And like you mentioned, Todd Bowley, I see this Chelsea situation, right? So my shout is them missing out on top four. I see this Todd Bowley dude being a bit... Initially, when I heard he'd like sacked everyone and he was running the gaff, I was like, oh my God, that's going to be a car crash. I spoke about it on here, I said, football's cyclical. This might be Chelsea's downfall now for a little bit, and I'm here for it. And then you see him linked to Rafinha, they put in bids, Sterling, etc. And I'm like, all right, okay, maybe I've gone too soon. But now I see them linked to every big player everywhere, at every team. And I'm like, wow, this guy's just out there looking for names, marquee names at that. There doesn't seem to be a plan. There's a lot of talk of like, oh, Tuchel, he's been given much more power, but I'm not sure that's the case because, like you said, I don't think he goes for a Ronaldo. I don't think he goes for a Neymar potentially. He's worked with him before, obviously, at PSG. So I don't know. I mean, it's the only logical place he will go at Chelsea, but just as Chelsea is a bit of a side piece, I think he's... Yeah, I think he's posturing a little bit, Keith. I'm not sure he's maybe genuine, like with a lot of it. Maybe it's just like, look at me, I'm talking to all these people and, you know, I'm getting these players done. Who've they actually bid for? Rafinha at 60 million pounds. There's no one else yet, you know. There's no 100 million for De Ligt that Juve want. There's no, you know, X amount for it. So we'll have to wait and see. But I don't know with Chelsea because they need a whole new back. To like three centre backs, you could argue because obviously they lose Rudiger, Christensen, one more's gone as well. I think they've only got Thiago Silva.
Yeah,
Azpilicueta. Yeah, so like that's where they need to be concentrating, really. But I don't know. I think he's a bit of a mad case, this Todd Boehly.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think Mendes will be like a shark here. He'll smell blood in the water, you know, and he'll see a soft touch in Boehly and look to get as much as he can. I've seen Ronaldo said he would take a pay cut as well. He'd fucking have to $500,000 a week. I think, you know, teams won't fall for that. Curtis puts a comment in, Tuchel succumbed to PSG player power disease. If Ronaldo ends up at Chelsea, Tuchel may not be there very long. And, you know, it's a good point. You touched on it there, Joe, that he was at PSG with Neymar. I think Neymar is a great player, but he's a lot of baggage with Neymar. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of baggage there. And, you know, could you see Neymar linking up with him there? Or do you think Tuchel pulls rank and looks for, you know, Sterling or Rafinha would be more maybe in line with what he wants rather than the Neymar or Ronaldo?
Yeah. No, they would be the smarter signings, which sounds mad, really, when you're talking of Ronaldo and Neymar. Yeah. But I do agree with you in that they carry a lot of baggage. And sometimes it's not for the benefit of the team, is it? You know, we've seen that previously. But I don't know. Like, I guess it'd be good for... I don't know. A lot of Chelsea fans would be buzzing, I guess. Oh, we're bringing Neymar, we're bringing this, but... I don't know. I don't see that working personally. As for Tuchel, it'll be interesting to see what Chelsea do now. Now that Roman's not around, will managers be given time or will it be the same process? As soon as they start to lose a few, you're out of the door like Roman was, or will they put their faith in youth? I've heard Conor Gallagher's going to stick around the place, so it'll be interesting to see how he does. But again, the thing is with Chelsea, they're so used to success over the last decade, so that if it isn't going well, will they give the young kids time? You know what I mean? Will the owners give them time? And when you're thinking about the likes of Neymar, Ronaldo, it doesn't sound like they will, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, very interesting. Very, you know, to see what goes on there. But while we're on Chelsea and we'll touched on Rafinha there. What's the latest with Rafinha, Joe? Because it seems like he just wants Barcelona or nothing.
Yeah. There's a lot of Leeds fans now that think he's going to stay. I know we shouldn't read too much into this, but he updated his Instagram back to Leeds United. So he'd taken it away.
Yeah.
And now he's put it back on. I don't know why you would take it away and put it back on. I don't know what that's for. Bit of kidology for Barca, I don't know. But it does seem like Barcelona is his only destination that he wants. We know with them, I mean, I don't know what's going on at Barca. Like, they've just signed Kessie and Christensen, managed to get them done, haven't they? Yeah. They're saying they want to keep De Jong, but he has to take a pay cut. They're still rambling on with Dembele. They want Lewandowski. They want Rafinha. I just don't know where the money's coming from. So, honestly, it's mad. And a lot of Leeds fans just want him gone now. I know that sounds disrespectful, but it's like, leave so that we can start to improve the squad with the money that we get for you, or tell us you're going to stay till January. Because the thing is, Keith, I think Leeds United might be better off with him till January because of the World Cup. He's been starting for Brazil. He's been playing amazing for Brazil. If Brazil go far into the competition, which I think they will, it's putting extra money on his price tag. I genuinely think Rafinha will have an awesome World Cup. So that just puts more money on his price tag. That's what Leeds fans wanted in the first place. So if Barcelona are thinking we'll wait it out, I think they might end up having to pay more. I just don't know what's going on with Barcelona. It's a joke, really, that they're allowed to carry on the way they are, mate.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? I've seen something that they're getting a cash injection and their transfer targets, not including Christensen and Kessie and any freebies they can get in. It's Rafinha, Lewandowski, Bernardo Silva, and I can't think of who the other one was, but they're apparently they're big on Bernardo Silva. Now, I can't see how they could do all those transfers. Yeah. And that all the talk is that Deco is pushing for Barcelona. He will, you know, I'm sure he'll push at Chelsea if Barca doesn't happen. But I'm starting to think as well along them lines that he stays at Leeds, because you touched on it there. The World Cup is coming up. It's in November, December. You know what I mean? Like, it's, if he goes to Barcelona and takes a while to settle in, and look, as Liverpool fans, we've seen Philippe Coutinho go there and struggle. You know, and when you, even when you look at Philippe Coutinho, if you look back logically, you know, without red-tinted glasses in my case, you know, he played well in games, he was getting decent numbers, but he wasn't worth the price tag, and no matter what he'd done, he was never going to live up to that, and he just crumbled underneath it. Mm. Rafinha goes there, they have a lot of fucking players, do you know what I mean? They've loads of bodies, and if he doesn't get straight into that team, that could impact his World Cup play. So I think the sensible one now, yeah, maybe it is to stay at Leeds, and maybe it's for another season. But as you've touched on there, that's 60 million quid that you guys probably are looking at and saying, right, well, we could deal with this.
Yeah.
Where does that leave Leeds?
Yeah, you're right. I think when you weigh it up, because I've spoken about this many times on my channel, like, even if he was to leave for a free at the end of his contract, you've paid 17 million for a lad who's kept you in the Premier League and smashed it for four seasons. And, you know, he's not on big wages either. You know, so it's still not that bad of a deal. But of course, Leeds United, much like with Calvin, they're banking on this money coming in so that we could, you know, flesh out the squad. We've done a lot of our business already, but, you know, a striker that we're after or whatever will be with that Rafinha money, no doubt. And the frustrating thing is that Chelsea have it there. They've made that bid, you know. So be interesting. I don't know about Depay, because I think it'll be Rafinha and obviously Dembele if he stays from the right. Didn't Depay get an offer from a team in the lower end of the Premier League, I read as well?
Yeah, but a mystery team. I didn't. I think it was Everton.
Do you reckon?
A big club down the bottom. That didn't get me Leeds, right? Isn't because you're wrong. I think Leeds transfer business is a bit more savvy than Depoy. And look, I think Depoy's a decent player, to be honest, but he's that bit older, and I think he'd still be looking for big money. I think it has Everton wrote all over it, you know what I mean? So that's where I think you'd be looking at there. But on Leeds, right, so you've brought in Brendan Aaronson, Rasmus Christensen, Mark Rocha. That's it so far, isn't it?
Yeah, we got a kid called Darko JB from Manchester City for 5 million.
Part of the Calvin Phillips deal. Where does he play? What's he?
He's number 8, mate, but he's only 18. He hadn't even made no first team minutes because we wanted that Romeo Lavia and James McAtee, but couldn't get them deals done. So we've got this Darko JB. I don't think we'll see much of him anytime soon, but, you know, some guy who coached him, he's going to say this, but said if you were to make a number 8 in a lab, he would be it. So listen.
Just going off that.
Yeah, you'll take that, won't you? You know what I mean? So they picked him up at 14 from Millwall for $500,000. So he must be all right, you know what I mean? But in terms of what's up next, these are done. Not confirmed yet, but medical's pending. We've just signed Tyler Adams from RB Leipzig. Jesse Marsh.
Has that one got over the line?
Yeah, so the medical's today. It's flew over today. It's 20 million.
It's a good sign. 20 million.
Yeah, I think it is as well. A lot of people are frustrated because they wanted more Hamid Kamara from Salzburg. He was a lot of people's preferred option, but I think it was a bit too pricey for Leeds. But I think Jesse Marsh, he gave Tyler Adams his debut at New York Red Bulls, took him to Leipzig, and now he's taking him there. So I think him and Rocker as a double pivot will be decent. You know, Matt Rocker will be tasked with progressing the ball and Tyler Adams doing the destroying in behind. And then out of the blue yesterday, no more Cody Gakpo. I think that one's too pricey, but we've got Luis Sinisterra instead from Feyenoord. So that one looks a right buy, to be fair. Again, I think that's about 25 million potentially. It'll be a record since 2006 when one certain player went from Feyenoord to Liverpool. Who was it?
Feyenoord to Liverpool in 2006.
Yeah.
Jesus, you caught me there. Feyenoord to Liverpool. I don't know, I'm having a brain fart here.
Dirk
Hill, of course.
There you go. So he was the last, time their transfer fee was broken. So it's been quite some time. But, man, he looks a naughty player. I think there was only Sebastian Haller and Dusan Tadic that got more goal involvements than him in the Eredivisie last season. So, very good player. The only thing is like, he's very much a winger and likes to hug the touchline. And Leeds United seem to be going with a more central, you know, based system under Jesse Marsh. So whether or not he'll work like Gakpo would have, I'm not too sure. But he's an exciting talent, mate. So I'm buzzing. 23, you know, should be good.
Brilliant. G10 says there, Sinisterra looks class, very Mane-ish, you know. You wouldn't say no to that. No. But, and Kev says he's a seriously quick player, you know. Yeah. These are great, but I do think he's a crying out for a central striker, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's something that when Bamford went down last season, he's missed his goals, and whether it's Dan James or whoever else is going to play
Rodrigo,
they're probably not the quality that you need. Is there any sort of centre forwards that are being linked with? The Gakpo one, as you say, has gone cold. Any other forwards, any central strikers?
We were after Nketiah. He was the one, and then obviously he signed a new deal at Arsenal, which I'm glad for, to be honest. But there's Charles de Ketelaere, obviously at Club Bruges, you can play there, or play just off Bamford. But the thing is, AC Milan had a bid. He wants to go to Milan. AC Milan had a bid rejected, and I'm just reading at the minute, they've gone in with a second bid. So I think he's destined for Milan. I think Ziyech and him will be going there, so it looks like Charles de Ketelaere will go to Milan, so we'll have to look at another option. Who that is, I don't know. We've been linked to or mentioned Hamed Traore at Sassuolo, and also the guy Ademu. Is it Ademu at Salzburg or Leipzig? One of them two. But again, they don't fill me with like loads of, you know, excitement like Charles de Ketelaere does. Like he's baller,
he looks quality.
You know what I mean?
He
looks next level. But, I don't know who it'll be, mate. We do need someone, though. You bang on. Because my worry is as well, even with, like, Tyler Adams and Rocker, like, if one of them gets injured, we're then straight back to Clickham for sure. We're then straight back to Dan James leading the line or whatever. And it's like, and we need a left-back, bro, because Junior Firpo's gash, but the club have come out and said, we're not getting another left-back. They're not doing it.
Yeah, so, I seen a good one about Junior Firpo. A friend of mine said that it looks like they signed Senior Firpo. He was that bad. So he's a weak link, you know. But it was Firpo and James. It was a bit of a mad spending spree that happened there. A lot of money out laid on them. And
Rodrigo as well, man. Terrible.
They haven't worked out really that well. But I like the businesses have done this summer. Because I think Tyler Adams, I think, a great engine and all. I think he's a cracking player to get in. And the way Marsh is going to want his playing, obviously he's buying players that he knows. It will be interesting to see. You know, I think he's doing either a central striker or even one of these wide players that can go in. You know, we've seen Liverpool and Man City not playing with actual number nines up till now. So, you know, that could be the way forward. But someone that can bang in the goals.
Yeah, sure.
Definitely be one you need. Looking at other business, Manchester United, we touched on them earlier, but they did get Tyrell Malassi over the line, and they've been the chosen ones by Christian Eriksen. You know, between them and Brentford, it took a while as well. It took a while for him to decide on that. But someone said to me, it's a bit snaky by him ditching Brentford. I don't know. You know, when Manchester United, we can have laughs and we can have digs at them all we want, but they're a huge club and they're playing European football, and you can see why Eriksen, he doesn't know what's got left in his career. He had a great comeback story, but you know, he mightn't have that long of a career, touch wood he does.
Yeah.
But you can understand why he's plucking Manchester United over Brentford, can't you?
100%. Yeah. I took a lot of flack because as soon as I seen it confirmed, I put on Twitter, Brentford's relegation confirmed. So they all came for me in the comments, obviously. It was just tongue in cheek. But of course, you're going to choose Man United. I get it. I was listening to something earlier and they made a good point because we are sort of like digging Man United out over it. And someone said, like, and put it out there, that if he moved to Spurs under Conte, we'd all probably be saying it's a good signing. Oh, Christian Eriksen go back to Spurs under Conte. Yeah, it's a good signing. But because it's gone to Man United, we're like, ah, that's a joke of a signing. Yeah. I don't know. I think he's good. Like, I think he's still got it. He showed that last season for Brentford. But he's not what they need, really, is he? Obviously, he might shoulder some of the burden with Bruno Fernandes when he goes off the boil. But they need major surgery, I think, to Man United. And if your Martials and your Rashfords and stuff don't turn their form around, they look even worse. Do you know what I mean? I don't. Yeah, it's mad. It's mad. Their whole, yeah, just the whole setup, man. Just what they paid for the likes of Wan-Bissaka and stuff and Maguire. It's just, yeah, it's class.
Yeah, the amount of it is great. Like the amount of money they wasted, because you know, look at Luke Shaw, for example. I can't remember 30 odd million. I think they paid for him at the time. 50 million for Wan-Bissaka, 80 million for Maguire. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And the players are just getting replaced. Even they brought in Telles to put pressure on Shaw, and that failed miserably. Now they brought in this young Dutch kid, and he does look very good. And the thing about that, you know, they got him, what did they get him for? About 15 million euros, I saw. Because I think Leon had done the business and got the deal agreed, and they just pounced on it. And it's smart, whereas before, United would have said to Ten Hag, you like this fella there, don't worry, we'll sort this out, 45 million. And gone over. So it looks like they're probably trying to, you know, do things a little bit different. I hope it fails miserably personally.
Yeah, of course.
You know, fair play to them for trying to change her up. But look, we'll see what happens. Frankie de Jong, can you see him going there?
It's mad, isn't it, really? Because, again, it comes back to that Barcelona thing. He clearly doesn't want the move. I'm not having that he wants the move. I see a lot of Man United people say, well, he does want the move. I don't think he really does he? Otherwise, he'd already be there.
Yeah.
And Barcelona are saying they want to keep him, but he's got to take a pay cut. I mean, if I'm Frankie de Jong, I'd be like, well, no, I don't have to. You've got me on a contract. I'll see up my contract. Thank you very much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't make him move, but he doesn't want that move, does he? And I think, again, that, maybe they're just moving in the wrong circles. I keep saying it. They have to sort of like temper their expectations. Maybe they should be in for like Armando Broja and that alone from Chelsea.
swap deal for Ronaldo. Yeah,
exactly. I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen there. I think they're all, look, they've just got to give Ten Hag time. I think if they give him time, maybe he'll sort it out. But will they be patient enough? I don't know. It's, it's so fun, man.
Yeah, but it's expectations are too high. The fans just do want, you know, the top level players, and they want Frankie de Jong. And can't understand why is Frankie de Jong not want to come to Manchester United. But we said it as well about other players. They're not in the Champions League. The Champions League is the bread and butter for all these lads. You know, he's going from Barcelona. You know, people will say, oh, he want to play for Ten Hag. He was with Ten Hag at Ajax. Like the Barcelona Dutch link is huge and has been since Cruyff went there. You know, it's absolutely a destination. All these Dutch lads want to make it at, and he's not going to give it up too easy. And you're dead right. He could dig his heels in now. I don't know if that'll work out. Barca seem to be snaky like that. They never seem to get maybe burnt. But then they still have Braithwaite and all there, don't they? So they've signed some absolute shite over the years, haven't they, Barcelona? They must be the worst-run club since now.
Martin Braithwaite was garbage, man. He was in the Championship with Borough, man.
Yeah.
What was all that about? The mad thing is, they tried to sign Rodrigo off us last January as well. I wish we'd have sold him. They came in for Rodrigo, and he was shocking. The mad as a box of frogs, mate.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be any blatant common sense with them. Another club that are doing a lot of flexing, right? And last week we might have talked, and it looked like they'd have had five or six through the door, was Arsenal. They've got Gabriel Jesus in the door. They got him over the line. Who else have they signed? Fabio Vieira. They got him. That's it, is it? They were talking a lot more, and Rafinha, they had fucking unveiling videos done with Rafinha. That's absolutely falling on its arse. I don't, as it stands now, do you think Gabriel Jesus and Fabio Vieira, even Gabriel Jesus, who we'd know more about, think's a good signing for them?
I do think Jesus is great signing for them, me personally. I think he could have gone to quite a few clubs, to be fair. I think the fact that he's got a relationship with Arteta has meant that he's gone there. I think he's a great signing for them. Be interesting to see if he, you know, leading the line over 38 games, what kind of numbers he puts up. I think he is a good striker. And I think it shows that he's sort of bought into the project a little bit, because he maybe could have stayed at City, I don't know. Or maybe he definitely could have gone other places other than Arsenal. Yeah. I think he could have gone and played Champions League football. I think Chelsea sniffed around for a little bit, perhaps. But I think it's a good move. I don't know much about the guy, Fabio. I think they're after Martinez, aren't they? Them and Man United are battling for him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I've heard Arsenal fans say they need a left back as well, because he's never fit, is he? Yeah. You know what I mean?
And they're looking at that other lad, aren't they? What's his name? The Scottish fella. He plays for Bologna, Aaron Hickey. I think they're looking for him. Well,
he's gone to Brentford, hasn't he?
Has he gone to Brentford?
Yeah, he's gone to Brentford.
He was one they were after. They were all championing him.
Because I was watching something today. He's right and left footed and can play either right back or left back in this Hickey kid. But apparently, Arsenal were interested, but we felt like he wasn't quite ready for a top six side yet. So he's gone to Brentford. Maybe they'll revisit that. So it's probably a good signing for Brentford. They still need to do more, don't they? I think Arsenal, for sure, in order to try and bridge that gap. Because one club's business who I have been impressed with is Spurs. I think Spurs are going about it the right way, and I think they'll do more as well, you know?
Yeah, well, that's it. Very true, very true. A comment here of Chris Brack is in the comments. The ultimate all-or-nothing club, Arsenal. Fabio Vieira has signed and already has his foot in a protective boot. Not a good sign.
No.
Only issue with Jesus is he reportedly said he prefers to be a wide forward than a nine. And someone else in here then says, or Alison says, Chris Brackey prefers nine. Also, nothing or nothing. Well, just to back Chris up, I said last week on the show, Tim Vickery was talking about it, and he spoke to Tite, the Brazilian coach, and he came out and said, he asked Gabriel Jesus, where do you prefer? Do you prefer playing down the middle or do you prefer playing wide? Because, you know, Chiche needed to know, where am I fitting this fella into my team? And Jesus said he preferred playing out wide. So I think it's a good move. I think he's a good player. I'd love to see him going abroad, because I do like him. I think he's a good player. But I'd be interested to see. Arsenal are desperate for the centre-forward, aren't they? They've had Aubameyang, Lacazette. They've been big names, but they were relying on Nketiah, and I understand your sort of reluctance to be drawn into that Nketiah, because I think he's a player that he's a third option of anything, you know. He's not going to lay the line, but it'll be interesting to see how Jesus settles in there and how they progress. Spurs, you mentioned, so they've gone quiet at the moment, so they've done good business. They got in Perisic, they've got in Basuma, they got in Richarlison. Spence, have they got Spence in, or that's still waiting to be confirmed?
I don't think they've got that in yet. I don't think I can check, but
yeah. And someone said earlier in the chat as well that the Depoy looks like he's being strongly linked there. Doesn't really make sense, you know, when they have players like Bergwijn and Lucas Moura. And this
Bergwijn might be going to Ajax, isn't he? I think that's
linked there with Ajax.
Yeah,
I thought so.
Watch. Did you see Richarlison, just when you were saying about the protective foot, he's banned for the first game of the season, isn't he? Only one game though.
Hope someone appeals that and it gets elongated, because he's a player that it's very easy to dislike him, you know, as a Liverpool fan. He was playing for Everton, and he's one of these, gets mouthy and all that. If he's on your team, you love it, you know what I mean? Everyone loves a shit house. If it's your shit house, it's all well and good. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to the Everton fans absolutely losing their shit on him this season when he's rolling around against them. It'll be hilarious. There's been one fan on Twitter saying, you know, you've lost your statue outside Goodison, which shows where Everton are, you know, if they were building statues of Charlotte. You know, that's the state of that club. But they announced James Tarkowski.
Yeah.
What do you think of that as a signing for Everton?
think it's a decent signing. Someone said that. I think it might have been on this, or someone, or it might have been on another show, just said it's just a Michael Keane style signing. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if it, but I like Tarkowski. I think he is good. I swear I read that Lampard wanted to take him to Chelsea, but they vetoed it. I swear I read that when he was at Chelsea, because a lot of them Chelsea signings were his. So he's clearly a fan of Tarkowski's. He's took him to Everton. I think he improves their back line there. Their back line isn't great. I do think, what's the guy who plays at the back for him? Always shithousing, getting in people's faces.
At Everton?
Yeah. He's always injured. Colombian.
Ah, Yerry Mina.
Yerry Mina, yeah. He's always, yeah, I think... I rate him, but he's always injured. Whenever he comes up against Leeds, he seems great at getting in a striker's head. Does that make sense? In order to take them off the game, he did that with Bamford a couple of times, and he won that battle for sure. But I think if he can stay fit and Tarkowski as a centre back pairing, I think it's pretty decent. But I'm not that big on Lampard anyway. It'll be interesting.
Oh, you don't say.
No, yeah, exactly. It'd be interesting to see what they do. Is Ali going there? Is he still there? I don't get what that was.
I don't know what that deal was, because it wasn't a loan, but it was...
I swear he had to hit a certain amount of games, and if he hit a certain amount of games, or something, he was their player or something like that. It was weird.
I don't think he hit that. He didn't seem to play that much, so I'd be surprised if he hit any targets. So I don't know what the story is there. Kev O'Sullivan says, Everton looking for voluntary redundancies within the club. People don't get how fucked they are. And that's the truth with them. You know, they're having to sell Richarlison. They're bringing in Tarkowski on a free. I don't think they'll be, you know. Barry Devaney then says, Everton are looking to hijack a move for Morgan Gibbs-White, cracking young player. Good young player,
I don't think he chooses Everton though. I think there's some other clubs in for him as well. Leeds looked at him, said we looked at him in the papers, but he seems like a decent player. I'm surprised Wolves don't want to keep him, to be honest. I don't understand why they don't, but I swear there was someone else linked. I don't see Everton being an attractive prospect right now. But then again, it's the Lampard effect. These young players, he might get them in, actually. Maybe I'm being too harsh, but it does look a club in a bit of turmoil for me.
Yeah, O'Neill's a good point there. Calvert-Lewin won't get money for them now, because no club will be interested in them. Arsenal were the club that were just looked like they had him row all over it. Could you see a situation where he goes to Leeds?
Who? Calvert-Lewin?
Calvert-Lewin.
Would you take him? Would I take him? Yeah, I mean, if he rediscovered that form under Carlo Ancelotti, then yeah, for sure. But he's gone massively off the boil, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's gone massively on the boil. I, like you, believed he was going to go to Arsenal. I said that so many times. And I think if he'd not got injured and had a decent season, he probably might have. I suppose for him, it's a bit of like do or die time, really, isn't it, as well, for him. If he wants to get a move away from Everton, he's got to have a good season, so hopefully he stays fit. But no, not right now, I won't take him. I think he cost a bit of money as well, and I don't think he's worth it right now.
Though, what are his options? I think, you know, Spurs were being mentioned. They're not going to go near them. Arsenal aren't going to go near them. He just looks like his maybe Newcastle, and as I said, the likes of Leeds might be a club that are looking for a centre forward. It's how quickly it can change for these players, because he was the, you know, England centre forward backup for Harry Kane, and it looked like he had the world at his feet or at his high heels, and it just changed so quickly. You know, it just changed so quickly and dramatically for him. But let's see. G10 asks, Keith, ask Joe what he thinks of Meslier, the Leeds goalie. Thank you. What do you think of Meslier, Joe?
Really good. I really rate him. I know there's some one specific Liverpool fan who I met on here. His name is Gar Breen. Yeah, he says he's terrible. Gar Breen, that's it. Top guy. I'm a big fan of Meslier. Chelsea tried to sign him before we got him from Lorient. I think PSG have sniffed about him. I know they have Donnarumma before everyone starts shouting me down, but they see him as someone for the future. I think he will move to a big club. You've got to remember that this is a young kid. you know, very young for a goalkeeper, being a number one in the Premier League. Last season, he did have shaky points, but he'll grow from them. Genuinely, I think he's a top keeper, and he will go for quite a bit of money in a couple of seasons, I think, to a top side in Europe, I do think, because goalkeepers are quite a commodity, aren't they? So when you get one that's great and great with the feet, you know, they can go for a top whack, as you've seen with Alisson and stuff. So, look, I think he will go to a big club and he'll be their mainstay. I could even see him at Spurs, for example, after Lloris, potentially.
Owen says that, you know, and that's probably you look at it, you can see that sort of pathway. And he is the French under-21 keeper isn't he? So I know there is other French keepers out there. Mike Maignan, AC Milan is good. But, you know, there could be a situation where he is going to be a top international keeper in a couple of years. Yeah. And something you touched on there, Joe, as a Leeds fan, because Liverpool for a few years, you know, we're lucky to be at the top table now and at the top of the tree. As far as world football goes, there's not many teams better than Liverpool and better clubs and better destinations than Liverpool. But for a few years, especially when we go back to the start of the FSG era, the end of Hicks and Gillette, and you're looking at, well, if you bring a player in like Suarez, it's a stepping stone and he goes on. But then Liverpool being Liverpool, were quite an emotional bunch. When it comes to letting them go, we don't want to let them go. As a Leeds fan, is that a model that you look to do as well and say, like, you know, Meslier is there now. Could you see Calvin Phillips moves on to the champions of England? You can't argue with that. It's a good move.
No.
Do Leeds look at it differently and say, look, we're happy to get the 3 years, 4 years out of these lads and let them move on and look them for the next player to come along and fill that void? Are you happy with that sort of status?
I am. Yeah, I am. I'm not sure everyone is, but I am. And I keep, you know, we have to remember where we are now as a football club. We're not the big dogs back in the day, you know, or at least up there fighting at the top. You know, we've had 16 long years out. We've seen with the recruitment so far, it ain't gone to plan in terms of, like, you know, spending big on a Rodrigo, for example, on a Dan James. I think we're going about it the right way in terms of, if you look at the profile of our players, Rasmus is 23, Tyler Adams is 23, Brendan Aaronson's 21, your man Sinisterra, I think, is 23 as well, just off the top of my head, might not be, but they're all young and they've all got big resale value. I said before as well, like, Liverpool might be aware of a Sinisterra or a De Ketelaere or a Gakpo, but aren't willing to take that plunge on them yet because they're not proven, because they don't need to. They can go get a proven player, Luis Diaz, you know, they can go get a Mane or whatever. But I've no problem in us being that guinea pig to say to these young lads, come and test yourself in the Prem. And if you can do it, then you get that big money move. Because I believe that's how Orta's sort of selling Leeds at the minute. Like, look what we've done for Rafinha. He came from a Champions League club at the time in Rennes, came to Leeds. Now he's going to get a big money move to a top club. And I think that's why we're going after these players, because we can show them that pathway. Pascal Strauch's the same, I think. I know he's not the flavour of the month with Liverpool fans, but it was an accident.
That's very fair.
It was.
I believe it was rightly a red card.
No intent
will say that.
But he was a free from Ajax, for example. You know, he'll go for decent money. I think he's a great left-sided centre-back and he's got the future ahead of him. Meslier paid $5 million from Lorient. Yeah. We'll get big money for him. So, I'm happy with the model, mate. Not everyone is. Like, these fans calling Calvin a snake and all this. Yeah. Well, I should have stayed at Leeds. I'm like, come on, man. The guy's going to go, he's being offered a six-year contract that's going to be worth about £60 million. Yeah. Like, let him go and win a Champions League and a Premier League. It is what it is, man. Good luck to him, I say.
I wish him no luck at all, no offence. I hope he wins nothing, but, you know, that's just me being a Liverpool fan. But the reality is, you know, Calvin Phillips has gone to Manchester City. He's going to win titles of some variety, whether it be league, Champions League, domestic cups. You know, he's going to get a medal haul at the end of his career.
Yeah,
quite similar, I suppose, to Jack Grealish. You know, he leaves Aston Villa, he goes to Man City. at the end of the day, you retire with league winners medals and other medals, I'm sure, but between now and that you retire. And you can't really blame players for that. But if that's your model and that's what you're selling, you have to stick to it, don't you? You can't bring a player in and then keep him, you know, like Rafinha. Yeah. We're not letting you go. Yeah. We're not letting you go. So then no one else is going to, you're not going to get them in that way. But now it'll be interesting to see now how these players develop and how they get on at these other clubs. So have you any player that you would like to see come? One, if you had one player to come in, you had one position, who would you want?
In Charles de Ketelaer.
He's the one for you, is he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I've just got my heart set on him now, but I don't think it's going to happen, mate. AC Milan are going to get him, aren't they, which is frustrating. But
he's very Kevin De Bruyne, that kid. And
And I think that's what I mean. Like, he won't be here long. But it'd just be nice to see him in his development. Do you know what I mean? Scoring some bangers at Leeds. I don't know. But we do need a number nine or a striker. Just if we go with the 4-2-2-2 or just someone there to share that burden for sure. But we'll have to see, mate. Just on Liverpool, are you? What's going on with Bellingham? Is that going to happen this summer? I don't think it will. But what are your
thoughts? Other day we were all excited. We'd done a show on Sunday, and I pinned my colours to the mast. I think it happens this summer.
Yeah,
it's Tuesday now. I've changed my mind. You know what I mean? I don't think it'll happen this summer now. I have a sneaky feeling that Liverpool aren't done yet. I think Liverpool aren't the type of club that'll have loads of plates spinning at one time. They seem to focus on, you know, Salah was a big one to get him over the line.
Yeah, massive.
And I think they've a few more contracts that they want to maybe get tied up. Naby Keita, for example. And, you know, whether they do anything around Roberto Firmino, I doubt it. But they've played, you know, they'll see what's happening with Keita. And Joe Gomez is another that's being touted for a new contract. I wouldn't be surprised if someone comes in for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Then I wouldn't be surprised to see Liverpool go and go big. Whether they can get Bellingham, I don't see why they can't, because I don't see why Dortmund wouldn't sell Haaland and Bellingham in one window. Like, they have talent coming out of their ears. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, so they're not looking, they don't only have, you know, this and, you know, with Sancho and Haaland, you could sort of understand that's two attackers. Maybe it might be different, but a midfielder, I'm sure they could get someone in. But, you know, I think they'll do something.
Do you know, on Joe Gomez, how come I thought with you getting Calvin Ramsey that his time at Liverpool might be coming to an end? Like, what? Do you see a future for him?
Yeah, he's very highly rated.
I rate him. I just thought Liverpool maybe they were going to say, yeah, okay, thanks, but no thanks, kind of.
Yeah, see, that's the thing with Klopp is, Klopp doesn't drum them out, you know what I mean? Klopp, he'd be ruthless if he has to be ruthless, but only if it warrants it. And I think Gomez is one that they love. I think they fucking love him. And just the injuries just, you know, absolutely set him back. I think they'd happily keep him and look then and say, right, Matip, don't know what Matip has left in the tank. If you can keep Gomez, maybe a loan. Some people are telling him for a loan, but you're getting game time and then you're bringing him back. If he can get back to the form he was in, I think he has a huge future at Liverpool. The problem is they brought in Ibrahima Kanate last summer, and he does everything that Gomez does, but he's bigger. Do you know what I mean? Like, Gomez's pace, his recovery pace was unbelievable, and that allowed Liverpool to play so high up. Yeah. Kanate is bleeding rocket as well, you know. So I think it'll be hard for him maybe to get back in. Where he gets his fitness back up, maybe people talk about alone, but I don't know. You know, I don't know. I think it'd be an interesting one to see what happens there. I'd keep him, but if a big money move comes in and he wanted to go, then I think they'd let him move on. Yeah. You know, because my brother here says, keep Gomez, it costs a fortune to get a player of that quality. Okay, it would probably cost a fortune, but you'd have to look, Kanate cost.
Does he not get to a stage, though, as well, where he goes, I need to get more game time here?
See, that's what it's come down to, yeah.
Because he's still young, right? It's still loads of potential. If he's playing centre-back week in, week out, is he a shout for England? Potentially. Do you know what I mean? At Liverpool, not going to get that, is he? So. Yeah.
See, before his injury, I thought he was England's best centre-back. You know, I thought he was better than Harry Maguire. I thought he was better than John Stones, who was out of form at the time. Mm. I thought he was better than Tyrone Mings. You know, I thought he was the best English centre-back.
Tyrone Mings is gash, isn't he?
Yeah, he's awful. He's absolutely shy.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, it was getting ahead of that. And I think playing regularly was the key. And I think that's it with Liverpool. If a player wants to leave, Klopp will let them leave.
Yeah.
You know, if he needs game time, if they don't want to leave, Klopp isn't the type that'll just sell them. Do you know what I mean? He'd rather see out that contract. I'd say with the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain, and you're talking about 10 million, Klopp might look and say, well, I'd rather keep his experience and his know-how and his, you know, he knows the system and he knows, I'd rather keep that than bring in a player in a World Cup year that's fucking in the middle of the season. You know, it might not be ideal, but I don't know. And they say they're not going to do it in Liverpool, and the journalists were saying that after Nunes and Ramsey, that'd be it. I think they're changing their tone a bit, and they're saying, oh, well, maybe they'll keep an eye on if something changes. So I think there's a bit of a softening coming out. So I wouldn't be surprised to see if they don't want. But one thing I will say is Fabio Carvalho has come in from Fulham. And he looks like he's going to be a good player. You know, he's going to be one that's, I think he'll be under the radar at Liverpool. I think no one will be expecting much from him, but he was in the Championship team of the year. He was the young player of the year in the Championship. He got goals, he got assists. Yeah. And look, yous were in the Championship not too long ago. It's a hard league, you know what I mean? And if an 18, 19-year-old kid is in there tearing it up, he must have a bit about him. So I'm excited to see what he can do, but look, we'll just have to wait and see. Do you know what I mean? We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Is
any other transfer stuff you want to talk about?
Not right now. What about Newcastle? What are you saying about Newcastle?
Actually, that's a good point. Yeah. They brought in Sven Botman. We were linked with him 2 years ago, 18 months ago. He's a good player. He's got a big dog, but, you know,
Nick Pope as well.
It's a good signing because I felt that he needed to upgrade the goalkeeper. Dubravka, I thought, was a weak link there. They've done well to get him in. And there's talk of them now going to Bayern Leverkusen to get Diaby as well. Breaking the record for him. It'll be interesting because they can't go out and just, you know, bring in a Neymar or bring in Salah or anything. But if they're smart enough, they'll build up their team that they can jump up. And skirt their way around FFP.
Yeah.
And then I already see they're putting sponsorships on that are Saudi owned and their away jerseys, the Saudi Arabia jersey. You know,
it's mad, isn't it?
It is mad. But look, we'll wait and see. We watch with interest with them because, like Man City, they're going to come up the rails before you know it. And they'll be offering mad money and they'll have all the fucking money in the world to get around the rules and be interesting.
Do you know when I think about that first City window, though, when they brought in, like, Adebayor, Bellamy, who else did they get? They got, like, Rabinho and all that, didn't they? And I just think Newcastle are going about it a little bit different. I don't know. They seem to be doing it a little bit smarter.
Yeah.
Like, bringing in Matt Target, permanent Botman and Nick Pope, and then you've got Dan Burn and then, obviously, Trippier coming back. I think that's solid now.
Yeah.
That's solid, isn't it? You know, they're not going for anyone flashy. Well, Botman's a great signing, of course. Then I think, you know, Joe Linton's been great in there. Guimaraes. I'm not a fan of Alan Saint-Maximin. I haven't been.
He's very erratic.
People say, oh, he's this, he's that, but nah. And, you know, my partner's family are Newcastle fans, and I think he frustrates a lot of them. He's a bit, for me, he's just a little bit of a level above Adama Traore. Do you know what I mean? In that sort of vibe, I get hammered for that, but that's just my opinion. But yeah, if they get Diaby, he's a serious player. You know, if Callum Wilson can stay fit as well, because he'll get them goals. So yeah, it'd be interesting. I think they're going about it the right way. My only thing is, and I've said this, as soon as they hit a sticky patch, they'll get rid of Eddie Howe because they'll want a big-name manager so that they can bring in big-name players. Like, as soon as he's in a sticky patch, Mourinho, even Pochettino might be available still, so they might go, right, let's get him in. So it'd be interesting.
We've another question here from G10. Keith, he's too young to remember him playing, but could you ask Joe about John Joles and his standing in Leeds? Irish great. Thanks, lads. I would hope you didn't see John Joles playing, but
no, definitely. I definitely didn't see him play, mate. No, but yeah.
The Norman Hunt years, Joe.
No, but of course, Johnny Giles still, I think he came out and actually spoke of, does he do like a regular Irish slot on an Irish?
He has, it does be on the radio. He used to be like on the football punditry, and for years, him, Liam Brady, yeah, and Eamon Dunphy, and you know, they were great. They were brilliant, but
because
he got run off, he got retired, you know what I mean?
Right,
he
didn't want it,
he got.
Because they spoke to him after Marsh had come out and said that Bielsa was overtraining the players, and he actually came out and said, you shouldn't be saying that. I don't know why I did an Irish accent, my bad. But he came out and was pretty staunch and said, listen, Bielsa did everything, so I fell in love with him a little bit more, you know what I mean? So, yeah, yeah. No, of course, all them players from that era, mate, have great standing, man. Of course they do.
Yeah,
they don't get the respect they deserve, I don't think, because what happened with Dom Revy, and Dom Revy obviously with the England job, and I don't think they get
in the English game, like, or just
I don't think they do, and obviously we got screwed out of a European Cup, you know, the Champions League, if you like, European Cup, when we were screwed by Bayern Munich. And that referee got done. Yeah, the referee got done for fixing as well, didn't he? Yeah. So that's a little bit frustrating, because I'd have liked to have that, you know, like the Forest have there too, and yous have yours.
Villa,
just to see. Yeah, exactly. But I just don't think he gets the respect he deserves, because he was doing like the dossiers on teams and that way back, man, way back. And yeah.
The Clough thing just, you know, the whole thing with him and Clough was just a bit of a circus, and Clough was such a darling, you know what I mean? That Revy always came out as the bad guy out of that, I mean, even though Clough goes in and absolute shit show at Leeds, but
terrible, wasn't it?
You know, but it was a great time in football. You know, you look back at all these, and it's great to look back at the history of clubs. But nice way to finish it, you know.
Yeah, it is nostalgia,
Irish nostalgia as well. So look, we leave it there, Joe. Thank you very much for coming on. Have you anything else? Do you want to plug your own channel there before we go?
Yeah, just your football show, just heavy Leeds United content at the minute. Obviously, transfer news every bloody day at the minute, but it's all good. It's keeping me busy. When the season kicks off, it'll just be watch-alongs and previews, reviews and stuff like that. I do like a weekly Premier League review show. So, yeah, if you fancy it, come on over. It's decent. I get quite a lot of Liverpool fans from the Trippers, to be fair. So, big shout out.
Oh, yeah. No, you do. We get a lot of positivity when you come on. So, it's great to have you back, you know what I mean? And anyone in the chat or anyone that listens afterwards, top stuff on Joe's channel. So, we're over there and watch. You know, it's always a good listen or a good watch. So, look, again, Joe, thanks very much for coming tonight. We'll get you on again soon. I was going to make us sing out where Roy said Fred, but I think I'll spare everybody that one.
I don't know any of theirs, mate.
Oh, I do. Trust me. Too sexy.
I do know that one. I do.
No, we won't deal with them. But anyway,
sexy, it hurts.
I'm a model, you know what I mean? Anyway, no transfer knowledge, not a note in our heads. We'll see us all again soon. Sports Social Podcast Network.